Just put this in my pocket.
Greetings from the Church of Jesus Christ in Asia Minor, Turkey, West Asia. We are so pleased to be here with you, to share life of Christ with you, and are just so pleased also to be with our daughter and son-in-law. And Norita, first of all, has a special message to give you. Norita.
I want to thank this church for donating and praying for the work of ministry among disabled children who have been abandoned in Ankara, Turkey, where I work. And this church was so gracious to raise some money and to send it to our work. And I want to say that we have a team of 12 people, Turkish people, most of whom are believers in Jesus Christ, who are ministering to over 300 children with all kinds of disabilities, both physical and mental disabilities, who have been abandoned by their families to orphanages and other institutions, or who are now we're reaching out to families with children with disabilities who are very poor and cannot actually take care of their children very well. But God is moving in our ministry to bring us closer to each other, bring us closer to His heart, because He started this. This is the ministry of Jesus. And we just kind of are walking in amazement to how He's doing this, using us. And people are coming to the Lord as well through this, which is really exciting. I've been working with this ministry for about 10 years. Ken and I and Katrina were living in Ankara for, now we've been there 20 years. Before that, we were living in Amsterdam and working with Muslims who had come to Jesus there in the city of, in Netherlands. But through many different graces of God, we ended up back in Ankara, which is the capital city of Turkey. I don't know, maybe should I give some information about Turkey? I don't know if you know that there are about 70 million people in that city, in that country. And we believe there are about 2,000 believers in Jesus out of those 70 million. So that's less than 1%. That's less than 1% of 1%, actually, of the population. It is a nation of what predominantly nominal Muslims, people who are very, very adamantly Muslim, but who do not practice Islam, basically, is what you could say about the Turkish people. It's a nation in conflict, though, going through all kinds of social disintegration, as it were, because they were longing to be a part of Western materialistic, the Western West, but at the same time realize that they're Asian in many ways in the way that they think, and family and honor is very important. And to be a Turk is to be a Muslim, so to change from to become a follower of Jesus Christ is to be considered by the majority of your population, whether family or whatever, as becoming a traitor, not only to your Islam, but a traitor to your Turkishness. So when a person becomes a follower of Jesus, they leave their family. They lose their family. And so therefore the church, this group of people here, becomes the family. And we have been learning more and more over the years just how real it is to be the ecclesia, the kilise in Turkish, the called out ones to become the family of God. And as Ken will share with you, it's very poignant with us right now as we have come out of a very difficult situation that happened last week, and he'll be sharing more about that.
Thank you.
don't need this mic. You can still hear me this way? Oh, excellent. Okay, sorry. Thank you. You probably recognize many times Paul in the epistles talking about giving encouragement to this church. When I come to visit you, I hope to give you encouragement or receive encouragement from you. I need it. I understand a lot more what Paul means when he writes that, because we are also in need of encouragement. And one more reason why we're very happy to be with you. Let me just tell you, 11 days ago, Wednesday, the 18th of April, three brothers in an eastern city of Turkey, two of them Turks, one German missionary, all three of them believers in Jesus Christ, were working in their office where they had a Bible distribution company, where they were distributing Bibles to cities and villages in that area. And they had been receiving a very, very positive response from the community, from those villages. And they were wishing that they had more people to help them. That morning, they had an appointment with four or five other people who had come to the Easter service. You just celebrated Easter a few weeks ago. So they knew these Turkish guests who were coming. However, when these Turkish guests came, they came with weapons, with guns, with knives. They locked the door of the office from the inside. It's not a church building, it was a office building, like any of your office building in the city here. They tied the hands and the feet of these three brothers. And apparently for several hours, they tortured them. And if I told you this story of the numbers of knife wounds and how they were tortured, you would be ill, as I am when I think about it. And in the end, their throats were cut, and they died. All three brothers were in their early 30s, mid-30s. And, well, as you can understand, we still are in shock. My Philippine brothers and sisters know what it's like. There have been martyrs in recent history, in recent years in their country, people who have been murdered for their faith. Japan, especially in previous centuries, knows this very well. Also does Turkey, the Ottoman Empire or the Middle East, particularly Turkey 84, 85 years ago, at the end of the Ottoman Empire and the beginning of the Turkish Empire, knew many, many martyrs, perhaps millions. But there's good news, and I want to show you about that. The message of Paul in the book of Romans, chapter 8, gives us much encouragement. Now in a new light that I've ever had before, more than I've ever had before. In Romans chapter 8, verse 18, Paul writes to us, I consider that our present sufferings are not worthy comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Our present suffering, we must remember, even the worst kind of torture, even the worst kind of death, which in this case are our brothers, two of whom I knew, two of these three brothers, even their suffering is not comparable at all to what happened to them 11 days ago when they passed from this life into the presence of Jesus. The joy that they had, the thrill of seeing the glory of Christ, no longer compares to what they suffered. Incomparable. incomparable. We right now don't have to think about that comparison. Perhaps we need to think about it more in the future. But it's an encouragement to us to remember that they are no longer suffering. They're no longer thinking about what they suffered. They're no longer thinking about the humility, the insults, and the helplessness that they felt. They are now full of joy. Thank God. Paul goes on, verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. 1 week ago yesterday, I was in the city of Izmir, which in your Bible is known as Smyrna, at the funeral of one of these three brothers. In that city, like I suppose in Japan, there are some old churches that belong to the foreign European communities minorities that used to live there. And this church was a stone building, probably built about 200 years ago. And outside, like in many old European churches, there are graveyards, as well as a courtyard. And in this courtyard, perhaps 500 people gathered for this funeral. 20 or 30 or 40 members of the press with cameras and film, movie cameras, crowding in to take pictures of the widow of the one Turkish brother, Necati, with her two preschool children and her sister and brother-in-law. But the place, of course, the funeral, this outdoor funeral, was filled with believers from all over Turkey, had come to support, to worship Jesus, thank Him that death no longer had the last say. Death is a bad thing, but death does not control our lives. God has the last say. He raised Jesus from the dead, and He will raise every one of us who believe in Him, who have been baptized in Him, and raised with Him. And it was a powerful testimony. There were government officials. The Turkish government has been embarrassed, of course, that in their country, which is a democracy and a secular, officially secular country, not like Iraq or Afghanistan or Jordan or these other Muslim countries, 99% Muslim, but secular government. And so the government was a bit embarrassed that Christians were murdered in their country. First time in the history of the modern Turkish Republic. So it was a very interesting to watch these two government officials listen to 2 hours of testimony, 2 hours of sermon, 2 hours of worship to Jesus. They were a captive audience. Many brothers stood up and gave testimony to the... This is only the funeral for one of the brothers. The other two had already been buried. And the testimonies were given to the Christ-like nature of this brother, who was not a nominal Muslim. He had been a serious Muslim before in his life, and he had memorized large portions of the Quran. And he had been rejected by his whole family, just like Helen has spoken about, of this, the tension that people here, I understand, can receive rejection from family. It's very common in Turkey. And the family had rejected him because they were also Muslim, serious Muslim. But his life had been changed radically by Christ. Yeah. wonderful people to have known. I won't keep you much longer, but I wanted to read a few more scriptures. Of course, Paul goes on in the same chapter, verse 28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. We know that now because many, many people heard a testimony of the love of God at that funeral. Our own Turkish pastor was there from the city of Ankara. These Turkish brothers were also part of a small church, maybe 10 people. I mean, it's ridiculous to think that the government or anyone could think of these 10 people as a threat. But they were part of a small church, which is a sister church of our church in Ankara. And our church in Ankara is a Turkish-speaking church, though like yours, is a multi-ethnic church. We have people from many nationalities all speaking Turkish, from Moldavia, from Iran, from Korea, Europe, North America, but mostly Turkey. And I lost my train of thought there. The point is that we have a hope in Christ that no one else had, and these Turkish officials had an opportunity to hear that. And we know that the world, of course, there were 30 or 40 cameramen, and they also, some of these pictures were on the YouTube. There's ways now that technology is spreading the gospel in Turkey that have never been possible before. Not just Bible distribution, but also the internet, which of course everyone in the world is using. So we are looking forward to how God will use this disaster. I would never in my life believe it's God's will that His own precious people be betrayed and killed like this. But I know that God is, His thinking, His understanding, His intelligence is so far beyond ours that in such situations, it's never a surprise to Him. And that He knows how to create it for good. So we're looking for the day when, well, literally millions will come to faith in Turkey. Turkey, as Nerida explained, is a country confused. I once met a taxi driver, talking with the taxi driver in Turkey. He said, "Oh, you speak good Turkish. Have you become a Muslim?" This is the understanding. And, well, of course, you would want to be a Muslim. Everyone knows that Islam is the last religion and Muhammad is the last prophet and therefore superior to everything that came before. I thought about it and I said, I will take a risk and I will say something provocative. I said, "No, I haven't thought about becoming a Muslim. Frankly, I haven't met many good Muslims in this country yet." And then I waited for his reaction. And he said, "You know, you're right. We came here 1,000 years ago from Central Asia. You know, the Chinese built the wall to keep out the Turks. We emigrated to the furthest part of Asia, to what is now Turkey. But we never became real Muslims. We still are bad Muslims, unfaithful Muslims. And then the last 70, 80 years, we've become a republic. We're no longer the Ottoman Empire. We wanted to become Europeans. And we failed at that. We don't know what we are, Europeans or Asians." And this past week, on Turkish television, as the Turkish media has been consumed with this understanding what happened in this eastern city, why their own people are killing Christians. They don't understand themselves. They say, "We don't understand what is happening to our own country. We are in confusion," they say. But however, it's not a first. A year ago, a Catholic priest was murdered, shot in the back while praying in his church in another city in Turkey. Many other brothers have been beaten. Many churches have been defaced by throwing rocks and bombs, fire bombs. The environment is not positive, but the country is in confusion. So what we were praying and hoping and would appreciate your prayers is that God would push to the limits, that people will make a stand. If this Japanese sister had trouble to make a commitment, we understand the difficulty because you risk rejection, and now the Turkey people in Turkey know that they risk martyrdom. We never thought that would happen before, but now we know it's possible. So we appreciate your prayers and your standing with us. But Paul goes on to say, what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? For he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? And another verse in the Bible, you know that Paul says, and also sufferings. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. We understand this now in a new light in Turkey. Know in all things, and I herewith I finish, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Verse 38, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We embrace you, brothers and sisters, from all over the world here, from Asia, from Europe, South America, North Central America. And we accept you as our family. Amen.
Ken, so let's pray for the Turkey, and let's pray for their ministry together.